be a praise you, Lord Jesus, in the house. It may be an amen in the house. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, holy night. Hallelujah. We bless you. We praise you. We magnify your name on today, Lord. And no wonder the writer said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye land, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. I said, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endure to all generations. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for one more time, God. You allowed us to come together. Thank you for another time of prayer, praise, and proclamation of your word. Thank you for all the saints of the Lord that's in the house of the Lord today and across this globe, all over this world, giving glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you. We praise you. Bless your word to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Please be seated. God bless you. Sister Jennifer, now you about just knocked me out with that last song. Amen. You may have to come up here and finish today. I'm telling you, this, praise God. We serve an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's brought us from a mighty long way. Anybody know that God has brought us from a long way? I'm glad I'm not who I used to be. I've been changed by the power of God. And I thank God for it. In the name of, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be today? Praise God. I love this season. Amen. I know we're marching toward Christmas Day. We're marching across toward that day where we just really acknowledge the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you know, he's not a baby in the manger anymore. Amen. He's the risen Lord. Amen. Who came to set the captive free, to give sight to the blind and unstop deaf ears. And do you know that the Lord is still doing those things today? He's still saving, he's delivering, he's still setting people free today. And I thank God for Jesus, amen. So the thought today is, you see it already, a heart prepared for the Lord. I want my heart to be prepared for whatever the Lord has in store for me. And so, you know, in this season, as we march toward Christmas Day, there's some things that started happening between Malachi and Matthew. You know, heaven was shut up for 400 years. There was no new prophecies coming down. There was no new prophets nothing added to the canon of Scripture. Heaven was silent for 400 years. But you know what? God had folks that was yet living for him. How was they yet living for him and trusting him and living the holy lives? Because the word of God was planted in their hearts. Oh, it's something very special to have the word of God hidden in our hearts, to know that our Redeemer lives, to know that God is real, to know that he is our Savior and our Lord. And we can live for him regardless of what our circumstances look like. He's still God, amen, no matter what it is. And so we're going to look at Luke chapter 1 today and kind of just a little background of what was happening. And I'll take a text from the last maybe three or four verses in this text of Luke chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 5. Again, heaven was shut down, right? A lot of things had transpired in that 400 years. Alexander the Great, for instance, you know, and the rise of the Pharisees and all that bunch. And you just go down the line. There was a lot of things happening, but God wasn't speaking for 400 years something new. Everything we need for life and godliness is in the Word of God. God had already laid on record what he was going to do. And I'm so grateful that God's time, my time, is not God's time. You know, I don't know about y'all, but me, I want stuff right now. You know, Lord, I'm praying, can you do it right now? But you know, the more you learn God and know who he is, you know, sometimes you have to wait on God. Sometimes you have to accept God's no. See, everybody want to hear God say, yes, I heard that, I'm going to do that for you. But sometimes God is saying no, because God knows what's best for me. You know, it's been times I prayed for things and I'm so glad I didn't get them. I said, man, I would have really been in trouble. I would have really been up to my ears in alligators if my will had been done. But I want the will of the Lord to be done. But a heart prepared for the Lord. You know, preparation is very important for anything. You can't just jump into something and start throwing stuff together and haven't prepared for it. You know, so just a base definition of the root word prepare is to make ready beforehand for some purpose, use, or activity. I want my heart to be right again so God can use me, so I can hear his voice, so I can walk in his ways. I want to have a heart turned toward heaven. And so we're going to look at these passages today, these verses today, and the main characters are Zechariah and Elizabeth. See, before Jesus came, before the word came to Mary, there's some word that came to the priest named Zechariah. So let me jump in and let's read this, and then we'll get into the study on today, to the word on today, to God's holy word on today. And it says in verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. You know, let me just stop there for a minute, because we throw these names out or we read the names that's in Scripture, but it's something behind, you know. I'm learning that God does nothing because he have nothing else to do. Everything that God does has purpose, and I'm going to learn how to walk in God's purpose. So first of all, Zechariah's name means God remembers. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Have you ever thought it felt like nobody remember, nobody know who you are, nobody know what you're going through? God remembers. He knows who we are. So Zechariah, who we're going to talk about today, his name means God remembers. And get this, his wife Elizabeth, her name means his oath, God's promise. Remember, 400 years, no word. But people are yet living for God. People are yet trusting God. You know, out of all the crazy stuff we see today, God is still on the throne. Amen. Brown University last night, people shot up in the classroom and killed and wounded. Over in Australia, 11 people shot up. You talking about folks need a heart prepared for the Lord. Some folks don't believe, like we used to say back in Oklahoma, some folks don't believe fat meets greasy, but it is. Some folks don't believe that the Lord is coming back, but he's coming back again. Some folks don't believe that he's holy, righteous, and just, and gracious, and kind, and merciful, but that's who our God is. And if he said he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Promises he made to Abraham are yet unfolding today. And in this study today, so let's look at this again. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. Oh, boy, Abijah, however you want to say it. He was Rehoboam's son. He was wicked. He was terrible. He did a whole lot of ungodly things, but that had no effect on who Zacharias was. So regardless of what our past have been, regardless of the lineage we may see in our family, God is greater than all of that. He has a perfect plan for each and every one of us. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Aaron was a priest of God. Remember Moses and Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood? So you've got some folks here that's living for God, and there has been not a new word down from the Lord in 400 years. And so sometime today, people are running around trying to find something new. Just go open up your Bible. There's nothing new under the sun, but God's word stands true. Let me read this. He said, okay, and her name was Elizabeth. This blesses me right here. And they were both righteous before God. It wasn't righteous because of stuff they were doing. The righteousness came from their relationship with God. Their love for God and their love for God's word. And do you know that you can love God and have some needs in your life? You can love God and have some situations that need some right now help. You can be sick in your body, but he is still good, and he knows who we are, and he knows where we are. So here we got the priest, Zechariah. We have his wife. Watch this. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments. Sound like somebody's hearts was already prepared, right? They were walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Man, is that something to want to gravitate to? You know, to be in the will of God, to love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength? He said, but they had no child. That was something in those days. You're childless, you're barren. And you know how folks can get something wrong with y'all. You know, no. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years, meaning they both was old. Now, I once was young, now I done got old. So I understand, you know. You know, there's no need of me talking to Sister Sandy about another baby. You know, that don't resonate with her, me, or nobody else in here. What, Pastor, what are you talking about? You know, so, but for this couple, this priest and his wife, it was a burden on them. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in his order, in the order of his division, he was a priest, and his job was to work at the altar of incense. And doing that, when the offering of incense was made, the smoke would come up through the chimney at the temple area, and it symbolized the prayers of the people going up to God. So, yes, they were barren. Yes, he didn't have no children. We're going to see this. I'll read it out. But he's praying. He's doing what God has called him to do. I want to say sometimes we need to do what God says to do, even if it don't make sense to us. But if God say do it. In the midst of you waiting and on God and going through trials, do what God said do. He'll step in. He'll show up right on time. All right. All right. So he was in his division according to the custom of the priesthood. His lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Priest in the temple to do what God called him to do. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Isn't it something when the people of God come together and pray together? Isn't it a blessing when a family can come together and pray? Isn't it a blessing when a husband and wife can learn how to pray together openly and, you know, nothing held back and crying out to our God? The people outside waiting to see the smoke coming up, symbolizing God is hearing their prayers. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Okay, what would you do if you saw an angel? Right? Oh, no problem. This happens every day. No, isn't it funny? Every time an angel have shown up, they have to say, fear not. Right? Because, look, you know, seen the cartoon where the guy run through the wall like that? You just see the imprint. You know, that's probably what I would have done. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. What was his prayer? That he would have a son. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. This is exciting stuff to me. 400 years, all of a sudden God started talking. When God starts talking, especially to you individually, you need to pay attention and listen. I can speak from experience. When God started drawing on me and I didn't know it was him, I couldn't even tell my friends. They said, oh, yeah, he gone now. Yeah. You know, your stuff he said, that ain't nothing but that stuff that got hold of him. No, it was Jesus knocking on my door. Yeah. It was the Lord Jesus said, don't go to that club no more. Don't go to that party no more. Don't drink that. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? That's all I know. But God was drawing me to himself. Amen. So I'm a living witness that when God began to speak, we need to start listening. So here God begins to speak, sent the angel Gabriel, first stop to Zechariah's house. But the angel said, to the temple, that is. So the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayers heard. I tell you, that ought to be a shout for somebody, because if you've been praying, you need to know that God has heard your prayer. Your prayers are not in vain in the Lord. He hears. Thank you, God. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. Not that she might, but she will. Listen, if God says it, take it to the bank. And you shall call his name John. Wow. Instructions from heaven. Verse 14. And these last four verses, it's where the subject is going to come from. So the announcement have came. The prayers have been heard. And the angel Gabriel continues to talk. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Zechariah, you're going to have joy and gladness. There may be some sadness in this man's life. There may be some heaviness in this man's life. Things just may not be. Yet he was holy and living for God, but now here come a word, you're going to have joy. Oh, my God. And this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world can't take it away. You can have joy even on your bed of affliction. It's different than happiness. Happiness depends on what's happening. Oh, but the joy of the Lord can be our strength. Amen. So verse 15, let me read this out. For he will be great, talking about this son that's going to be born to Zacharias and Elizabeth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're talking about miraculous. This is before Pentecost.
That's right.
Pastor Shane, I don't even try to figure this out. God said this is what's happening. This is what's going to happen, and that is what happened. I love it. He says, all right, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. This tells me that we need to understand that our children are very precious in God's sight. And we need to cultivate in them whatever God has placed in our heart from his word for our children. It said, he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. I'm talking about a heart prepared for the Lord. Here comes the prophecy of what this prophet John is going to be all about. He's going to be preaching under the anointing of God. A message for folks who love him and also for those who don't even know him. But this man's going to be preaching a word of repentance and deliverance. Yeah, exactly. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah. You remember the power of Elijah the prophet? I mean, you're talking about a powerful prophet. I mean, this man, he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. He's the one who challenged 400 prophets of Baal. You guys set up your offering over here, and I'm going to set up mine over here, and the God who answers by fire, that's the real God. And that's a whole other story for another day. But when he prayed, the fire of God fell down. Lapped up the sacrifice, the water, and everything else, right? So this man, John, is going to, he's not Elijah, but he's coming in the spirit and power of Elijah. And here's where it starts getting serious for me, and this is where the subject of the message comes from. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. How many know that's needed today? How many wayward fathers do we have in our nation? Even sometime within the house of the Lord. But he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And here it is, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wow. A heart prepared for the Lord. God has put it in motion for man to come to know him and to live for him and to worship and adore and serve him. Why? Not just for, it's not just for God, but it's for us men and women to come to know Jesus and live a prosperous life in him. Because that's where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord. So we as human beings, we have some heart issues. Now, I'm not talking about this ticker, right? You know, and sometimes mine is 70-some beats per minute. Sometimes it's 50. And I'm like, okay, let me just quit looking at this little watch. It's stressing me out, right? But it's not talking about that heart. It's talking about the whole being, the spirit of a man. You know, a heart prepared for the Lord. So we have a heart problem. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and 10. This message is to God's stubborn people at a time when judgment is on the way. He says the heart, and that's talking about the heart of a man, the very being of a man, the innermost part of the man. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It ain't talking about this Joe over here and Susie over there. It's talking about mankind. Man's heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Watch this. He say, I, the Lord, search the heart. Isn't it a blessing that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart? He knows what's inside of us. He knows what makes us tick. But he say, I, the Lord, search the heart, and I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So it's very important to have a heart turned toward, prepared for the Lord, because he sees us. He knows what's on the inside. He knows what's happening when I don't even say it. See, the Bible tells me over in Hebrews that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit. That's sharp. Bone and marrow, and here's what always get me, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. There it is. And everything lay open and naked before him whom we have to give an account. Whoa, when I read that the first time, I'm like, yikes. Nothing is hidden from him. He knows the very depths of my heart. And God just wants me to come clean. I can go to my Father in prayer. I can say, God, I don't know why I'm thinking like this. I need your help. Am I the only one? You know, you ever had one of them thoughts that come in and say, what? Now, you know, we are what we eat as well. You know, naturally so and spiritually so. You know, stuff I used to eat when we was on government commodities back in Oklahoma back in the 50s. I can't eat that stuff now. Pork and gravy, beef and gravy in the can. You know, and all, I won't even go through the list of stuff. But it sustained us. But it wasn't real healthy for us. Chitterlings, some of you all may have seen that in the store. Back home they call them chitlins, you know, but they're hog intestines, and they used to almost give the stuff away, and now they're $10 a pound. Anyway, but stuff like that you cannot eat and be healthy. It's not good for you. We need to eat of the word of God. We need to have communion with God. We need to have fellowship in the house of the Lord. We need to have fellow believers that we can commune with, that we can share with, that we can glean from, because iron sharpens iron. So when the scripture talks about this heart is deceitful above all, it's wicked, who can know it? God knows it. And so if I understand that he is God and he knows my heart, I don't need to be shucking and jiving. I need to say, God, here I am. Warts and all, God, I'm coming to you just as I am, weary, wounded, and sad. But in you, God, I want to find that resting place. And I know that would make me glad. That would give me joy. So that the, it's not all lost. This is just the word of God. So in Psalm 139, the writer said, David said, search me, O God. Oh, yeah. See, this is where it starts getting down to the nitty-gritty, right? Because we're talking about a heart prepared for the Lord. How do we do that? How do we prepare our hearts for the Lord to use us? You know, when does it get in our heart and our mind and our spirit that I just want to please God? And if I find myself pleasing God, I can love like I'm supposed to love. I can love my wife like I'm supposed to love my wife. I can be that father. I can be that minister. I can, what God, whatever you want, I just want to be that, and I want you to search my heart, God. So listen to what the writer said. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Somebody may be reluctant to say that to the Lord because they got some stuff covered up on the inside. You know, don't nobody know about this. But when you know that God knows, oh, man, because, see, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. People say stuff, do stuff, and think stuff in dark. But if you know that you have a God who sees everything, it makes a difference. David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. That's powerful to me. That's intimacy to me. That's being vulnerable to the Lord. Search me, God. Know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Know my fears. Know my shortcomings, God. Know the things I'm struggling with, God, that nobody else knows but you and me. Search me, Lord. And see if there's any wicked way in me. I don't want to get to a point where I'm so holy to where ain't no wicked way in me. I am good. If I get like that, I just lost it. Because, this flesh is tough. Flesh want all it can see, touch, and feel. And thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the Holy Spirit indwelling us that holds the reins of our life. Amen. So in Psalm 51, you know, David sinned egregiously against the Lord. He stole a man's wife, Bathsheba. Had the man killed to cover it up. But he was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says, and he was wrong. He was dead wrong, and he wasn't going around big king crown on and robe on and making judgments over the people, but inside he was jacked up. I've sinned against God. Nobody knows it, but I know it, see. And God sent a prophet to him, told him a little story, and it convicted his heart so much. Jumping here in Psalm 51, down to the 10th verse, he said, create in me a clean heart. He had got to the point where he acknowledged his sin. He recognized that he had blown it royally. It's nothing worse than having a relationship with God and living in sin or having a situation that we haven't given to the Lord. You know, and see, one thing that's really can plague church folks today is unforgiveness. We can come into church, get our praise on. Hallelujah. Hey, hit it, Jen. You know, but you know how you done treated me over here. No. We Christ have given us everything we need for life and godliness. Forgive so you can be forgiven. You know, turn another cheek. Humble yourself before God. He'll work it out. So we have to always monitor ourselves. But here David had found himself in a bad situation, even around the same situation in Psalm 32. He said, when I tried to hide my sin, when I had to tried to cover my sin, when I wouldn't confess it, he said my bones was breaking. On the inside, he was torn up. See, so here's created me a clean heart, O God. I don't want to shoot past that part. That sounds like a term of endearment. That sounds like an acknowledgement of who this great and awesome God is. Created me a clean heart. Oh, God. Have you ever had that one of them prayers in your life? Oh, God. Oh, God, I need you. Oh, God, it hurts. Oh, God, help me. That's who the real God is and who we can serve. He said, oh, God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. It sounds like this man is getting his heart prepared for the Lord, because he's been called to be a king. He's been called to be a representative for the Lord. He's been called to lord over God's people and to show them the right way. And he found himself in a bad situation. But that wasn't the end of the story. Thank God, God is forgiving. Thank God that he is gracious. Oh my, he is merciful. Thank you, God. Listen, if we want to get our hearts prepared for the Lord, we have to understand who he is and what he's able to do in our life, how he's able to lift the hung down head. He's able to restore what the enemy have tried to take away from us. He's able to do it. So he said, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. He said, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. Again, this is somebody who has a relationship with the Lord, who understand who he's praying to, who's taking it all to God and say, God, here I am. I'm jacked up, but God, I need your help. And there's something else before we hit another verse and get ready to get up out of here. God, when God forgives us of something, then accept it. Don't keep hitting yourself upside the head. Don't hook up a pulley with a boot on the end of it and a rope and kick yourself, you know, because you've blown it at some point. Let it go. If God has forgiven you and you're still carrying it around, he's saying, what are you doing? I freed you up from that. Yes, you blew it, but I have forgiven you. That's what David was doing. That's what we need to be able to do to prepare our hearts, because if we have sin in our life, if we have something that's not right before God in our life, I don't care how much we shout, sing, jump, or do whatever, we're not excelling. We're not moving forward. We cannot get nothing new until we do what God wants us to do, and that's to give it up to him. Psalm 73 and 25, whom have I have in heaven but you, God? When it's all said and done, who do I have but you, God? Whom have I in heaven but you? That's, again, recognizing who this great God is. He said, I desire you more than anything on earth. That's a pretty heavy statement if you ask me. Well, I got a nice car. Uh-huh. Oh, you got a nice house. Mm-hmm. I got some rags, what they used to call nice clothes back in the day. You know. But he says, I desire you more than anything on earth. You're talking about a heart that's prepared for the Lord. God, it's all about you. It's all about you, dear God. Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for my family. Thank you for friends. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God. You, God, though. I have nothing more. I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail. This is pretty deep stuff here, because just as sure as we live and we're going to die. Now, I know that's a morbid thing to say, but it's still the truth. You know, if I've lived 73 years, I don't have 73 left. You're talking about it would be a miracle. Who's that pastor over there? Yeah, he's 100 and, you know. No. He said, my health may fail. And my spirit may grow weak. Have anybody ever experienced it seem like the weight of the world is on your shoulders? It seem like sometimes you're just swimming upstream. He says, my health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. Wow. God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. That is a heart that's prepared for the Lord. To recognize him. Paul said, oh, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering. So what am I saying, church? Hey, let's get prepared for what God wants to do in our life. Let's forget about those things that are behind and reach forward to the things ahead. If we recognize that we have some issues in our life, whatever it may be, hey, take it to God in prayer. Take it to the Lord. Fall out prostrate before him. Cry out to him and watch what the Lord will do. He'll turn our dark yesterdays into bright tomorrow. He is the bright and morning star. He's the first and the last. He's the one who anoints. He's the one who appoints. He's the one who heals. He's the one who delivers. Everything we need is in him. No matter what we need, God's got it. I want my heart to be prepared for the Lord. God, prepare me for the next phase. Somebody may be looking to be married. God, prepare the heart for that marriage that's coming up. Somebody may be looking for that promotion. Oh, Lord, prepare my heart, God, to be in the place where you want me to be. Prepare me, Lord. The old songs say, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Yeah. Oh, yeah, pure and holy. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. That's what it's all about. That's what my thought is for today. Prepare my heart, Lord, to serve you, God. I don't want to tip my hat, but I may as well go on and tip it because, you know, it's always some kind of theme for the next new year. Oh, it's already in my spirit. Jesus will fix it in 2026. Amen. Jesus is the fix, that's it, in 2026. Yeah, that's what it is. How does that sound? How many know he'll fix it? I don't care what it is, he'll fix it. If you want it to be fixed, he'll fix it, see? And all we have to do is humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, and he will lift us up in due season. He's a mighty God. Anybody in here that they need a heart transplant? Anybody in the house that they need a jump start with that heart thing, that where they say, you know what, God, I've been here, and I've been kind of dragging a little bit, but God, I'm all in for you now. Oh, God, let this day be the first day of the rest of my life. Oh, God, I want to, my heart is prepared. Pour into me, God. Yes. Fill me with your spirit, God. Yes. Convict my heart, Father God, when I'm wrong. Show me how to do what's right. If anybody in here need a heart transplant or some work done on that heart today, we ought to just ask the Lord to help us today. I don't believe nobody got it all together. I think all of us have room for the Lord to do something in our heart. You know, the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation, they left their first love. That was sad. They did, they were having church. They were doing everything right that looked like on the outside. But the love was gone. How's your love barometer today? You know, how's your compassion today? How's your sense of forgiving and releasing others today? How you doing with past hurt and pain that you seem like you just can't shake? God's just looking for a heart prepared for him. If we want to go forth in the Lord and do great and awesome things for him in the community, in the prisons which we go every month, in the homeless shelters, in the house of the Lord here, God, it's time right now. I got a little place in my heart here, God, I want you to help me with. If you're in the room today and you just want some prayer, raise your hand, because we want to pray. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask Pastor Shane if he would come up here, because I just want you to pray over us today, brother. And if you, while you're sitting there thinking about this, you know, I don't want to know. Nobody else in here want to know, but you know, if there's a place in your heart that you would like God to do a work in your life, don't miss this moment. Raise your hand and stand up on your feet, and we're just going to pray, and then we'll have our benediction. Amen. I'm going to raise my hand. I got some areas where I want God to do a work in my life. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, Father, you see the hands that are lifted, and even the hands that could not be lifted right now, you see every single heart in here, Father.
Yes.
And we just lay our hearts out before you.
We lay them before you, God, and we say, have our hearts, Father. Have every ounce of us, because you are the only one that can handle us. And you can handle us with love. You can handle us with compassion. You can handle us with just a fearless love that only you can do, Lord. And I pray that as we go on today, Lord, it would be a step of laying our heart before you, Father.
Yes,
we lay it before you, and we pray that you wash it clean in the blood of Jesus.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Not only do you wash it clean, Father, but you touch it with your mighty hand. You begin to ignite our heart. You begin
Lord.
To light our heart on fire for you. You begin to let us love you once again with everything we got, Lord, because you are the only one worthy. Your Son, the Holy Spirit, is the only one worthy that our heart would beat for every single day. So I'm asking that the Holy Spirit would come and do heart surgery right now.
Yes,
begin to bring the power of God and bring us back to life, that every single moment we live, it would be to glorify you. It would be to be obedient to you. That we would be the next generation of Davids, Daniels, Deborahs, all the fighters in the Bible, God, that we would make
Lord.
A story
Hallelujah.
For you, because we laid down our hearts before you, Lord. And we come against the enemy that's trying to pull our heart away from you, God. We bind him up in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes,
and
Lord.
We cover
Hallelujah.
Every single heart of this person and
Lord.
These people here today and of the children, Lord. We cover it in the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you have warring angels protecting our hearts.
Lord.
We thank you, Lord, that the word of God is going to speak to us in the midnight hour, Lord, and begin to draw us near to
Lord.
You. I pray, Lord, that you would just move in our heart, Lord, as we lay it before you. Because when we stand before you, God, we want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant.
Mm.
And that happens right now as we surrender our hearts to you. So we thank you, Father. We love you. We thank you for your mercy.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for your kindness.
Glory.
We thank you for everything that you do for us day in and day out. Let our hearts beat for you going into 2026. Going into 2026, ending 2025, beating for you and starting 2026, beating for you and you alone, Lord.
Yes.
So we thank you for that, and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Amen. While we're standing. Amen. Sister Jennifer, I don't know if you have a song on your heart. We're going to get out of here on a note today. Amen. And we're praying, though, for those. There's so many that are sick and afflicted today, and we're praying for the saints today. Those who are on Facebook and YouTube and such, that's integral parts of the ministry. We pray for each one of you today. We're so grateful that Elder Joe Herrera is back home.
Amen.
After being in the hospital since October, we praise God. Amen. And so we thank the Lord. Amen. So Jennifer, I'm going to ask you, it's a family affair today. Won't you come and share and give us the benediction as well? Praise God. Is that all right? All right.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Oh, Lord, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. We thank you, Father, for this day.
Yes,
we
Lord,
thank
hallelujah.
You for this moment,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
We thank you for taking our hearts captive in you, Father. Thank you for this moment where we can give our hearts to you, Lord, and you can fill our hearts, Father, as the scripture was read this morning, that we abide in you and you abide in us, Father. Lord, we ask for forgiveness of our sins, Father. From this day forward, Lord, that we walk in you, that we talk in you, that we move in you, Father. We thank you, Father, for everything, Lord. We just love you, Lord.
We love you, Lord.
We glorify you, God.
Hallelujah.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. One more time.